In today's news headlines, the House moved to pass an impeachment resolution on Thursday morning along almost strictly partisan lines, with 231 Democrats voting for it and 194 Republicans against. No Republicans voted for the resolution, but two Democrats, Colin C. Peterson of Minnesota and Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey, voted no. Independent Justin Amash, who left the Republican Party, voted alongside Democrats. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who spearheaded the effort, prefaced the vote in this way.
This is not any cause for any glee or comfort. This is something that is very solemn, that is something prayerful, and that we had to gather so much information to take us to this next step. Again, this is a solemn occasion. Nobody, I doubt anybody in this place, or anybody that you know, comes to Congress to take the oath of office, comes to Congress to impeach the President of the United States, unless his actions are jeopardizing our honoring our oath of office.
Resolution is adopted without objection. The motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
That's House Speaker Pelosi on Thursday announcing the impeachment resolution that the House passed. Among the things that the resolution requires is the public release of transcripts of witness testimonies to the House Intelligence Committees. On the same day that the impeachment resolution passed, former White House National Security Advisor Tim Morrison testified to the House committees. Morrison was the top Russia and Europe expert and a senior member of the NSC, and he announced his resignation on the eve of his testimony after the White House directed him to defy the House request. According to CNN, Morrison is, quote, expected to corroborate key elements of a top U.S. diplomat's account that Trump pressed for Ukraine to publicly announce investigations into former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter using military aid. The diplomat in question is acting ambassador to Ukraine, William Taylor. Meanwhile, John Bolton, Trump's former national security advisor, has also been requested to give testimony next week. But Bolton says he would not appear without a subpoena. The Washington Post reported on Wednesday that a White House lawyer moved to restrict access to the infamous phone call transcript between Trump and Ukraine's president to a secret server after concerns were raised. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who is the top Ukraine advisor at the White House and who had testified to House committees earlier this week, apparently raised alarms about Trump's attempts at extortion to White House lawyer John Eisenberg. Eisenberg's response was to move the call records to a secret server. In the Senate, where an impeachment trial would take place, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has cemented his loyalty to Trump, ensuring that Trump's presidency will remain safe under his watch. But McConnell has apparently quietly told Trump to stop attacking senators who are critical of him or who remain on the fence regarding impeachment. Trump now appears to be moving toward using a carrot rather than stick approach to rally Republican senators, with reports of fundraising support for his loyalists. According to Politico, Trump is tapping his vast fundraising network for a handful of loyal senators facing tough re-election bids in 2020. Each of them has signed on to a Republican-backed resolution condemning the inquiry as unprecedented and undemocratic. In other news, the Pentagon has released photos and videos of the raid in northern Syria that led to the suicide of Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. General Kenneth Frank McKenzie, head of the U.S. Central Command, described the raid as it happened.
So this is a video of the assault force actually closing up to the compound. U.S. forces discovered Baghdadi hiding in a tunnel. When capture at the hands of U.S. forces was imminent, Baghdadi detonated a bomb he wore, killing himself and two young children that were with him. Baghdadi's remains were buried at sea in accordance with the law of armed conflict within 24 hours of his death.
That's General McKenzie, head of the U.S. Central Command, describing the raid that led to the ISIS leader's suicide. According to Associated Press, although the raid was successful, McKenzie said it would be a mistake to conclude that the Islamic State had been defeated. And the Islamic State released an audio recording on Thursday announcing that its new leader was Ibrahim al-Hashimi and warned Americans, quote, don't rejoice. A bipartisan group called Issue One has sent an open letter to U.S. senators, urging them to take action on election interference. The letter, signed by nearly 100 former members of Congress and other officials, says, quote, China, Iran, Russia, and non-state actors are utilizing every means possible to manipulate our elections and undermine the faith Americans have in our democracy. These efforts pose severe threats to our national security. End of quote. They urged the Senate to pass a number of bills strengthening the U.S.'s election security, including the Honest Ads Act, which tackles, among other things, Facebook's practice of profiting off of political ads containing false claims. Meanwhile, filmmaker Aaron Sorkin, who made the 2010 film The Social Network about Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, wrote an op-ed in the New York Times challenging Zuckerberg on the false ads. Sorkin writes, quote, right now on your website is an ad claiming that Joe Biden gave the Ukrainian attorney general $1 billion not to investigate his son. Every square inch of that is a lie, and it's under your logo. That's not defending free speech, Mark. That's assaulting truth. A day earlier, the social media platform Twitter announced that it was banning all political ads worldwide. Twitter founder Jack Dorsey explained that, quote, political message reach should be earned, not bought. The Senate Judiciary Committee held a hearing on Wednesday for Lawrence Van Dyke, a Trump appointee, to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. But Mr. Van Dyke is apparently so unqualified for the post that the American Bar Association wrote a scathing letter denouncing him as, quote, arrogant, lazy, an ideologue, and lacking in knowledge of the day-to-day practice. More importantly, the letter asserted that Van Dyke, quote, would not say affirmatively that he would be fair to any litigant before him, notably members of the LGBTQ community. When confronted by this part of the letter during the hearing, Van Dyke broke down in tears.
Sorry. No, I did not say that. I do not believe that. It is a fundamental belief of mine that all people are created in the image of God, and they should all be treated with dignity and respect.
That's Trump's judicial appointee Lawrence Van Dyke at a hearing on Wednesday. Fires continue to burn around California, with two new fires being sparked as of Thursday morning in the southern part of the state. One of them, the Hillside Fire in San Bernardino, spread quickly to hundreds of acres, fed by gusts of winds, and burned at least six homes, forcing about 1,300 people to be evacuated. The National Weather Service announced that extreme fire threats would remain in effect until 6 p.m. Thursday. Finally, Human Rights Watch has released a major new report on Thursday exposing atrocities in Afghanistan at the hands of U.S. CIA-backed forces. The report, titled They've Shot Many Like This, Abusive Night Raids by CIA-backed Afghan Strike Forces, details how, quote, these troops include Afghan strike forces who have been responsible for extrajudicial executions and enforced disappearances, indiscriminate airstrikes, attacks on medical facilities, and other violations of international humanitarian law or the laws of war. And that does it for our news headlines today.